It is Monday, the 25th of August, and this is episode 219 of Digital Outbox. Welcome to another episode, bank holiday in England episode. Not where you are.
No, definitely not a bank holiday where I was.
Nah, shame that.
Can I just ask, do you enjoy the weather?
Yes, it's been beautiful. I had to drive my Caterham over to get service this morning in the pouring rain, and I arrived absolutely soaking wet.
All I can say to that is get it right up you.
Indeed. It was not the best thing to do. Never mind. All done now.
All fixed already?
Kinda. I've got an underlying problem, I think, but with my electrics. But that could become exciting.
God, you sound like Hamilton. Testing.
Yes, I know. No, can I stop now? Can I stop now?
Please, I want to save my engine. I'm bored.
Oh, God, he's annoying me right now. Never mind. Let's get on with the news. And let's get Twitter annoying us instead, because they've come out this week and they have officially announced that they are modifying people's timelines. This has been something on the cards for a while, and they've said they're going to change the way their timelines work. But now they have officially said, we are inserting tweets into your feed that from users that aren't potentially you're not following, based on their popularity amongst your friends and amongst the internet folk. And it's quite a turn left at the traffic lights thing, because up until now, Twitter's been the get your feed of everyone you're following and nothing else but that, except for some adverts, because we need to survive.
Cock. So we spoke about this months ago, and I did say that I know this is coming. It's going to really hack me off when this comes.
So this is your turn to vent.
Well, I'm using Tweetbot, so
yeah. They're inserting it gently, aren't they?
Yeah,
and levering it in.
We knew this was coming the day they said that we're going to limit the amount of third-party clients. We're going to limit the amount of people that you can attract to it, and the kind of the ones that were popular, like the Twitterifics and Tweetbots at the time, said, "Well, we'll be okay. We've got enough bandwidth. There's enough road." That even if we doubled, we've still got plenty of, you know, capacity. And also they charged quite a bit. So people were like, well, I'll just use a free one instead of paying for this. Yeah. This kind of came out last week. So people started saying, so you've seen retweets before, because obviously that was the whole point. You know, if I retweet your content, then I'm saying, for whatever reason, go and look at this, you know, whether it's ridiculous or it's funny or it's fantastic. And if you favorited something, that was a kind of internal, that was to you saying, well, I like this and I want to either use it as a bookmark or I want to see these great tweets again later.
These great tweets. Yeah, and that's how I use it. I think that is how most people use it, right? Just so you can go back. It could be something, a reminder. It could be, but it is a bookmark. Bookmark's the best way of putting it.
And some people saw other people's favourites starting to appear last week. And they also saw things like, you know, Chris is now following the Pope appearing in their timeline. And they were like,
news to me.
I don't want to see this. And at first, Twitter said this is just an experiment on a few percentage. Mm. But then they actually updated their terms and conditions. Says actually, we are changing this.
We're rolling this out. We're putting this change in.
And if we think something's of interest to you, we will insert it.
Now, the saving grace of this at the moment is the fact that they are only inserting extra items into your feed. They are not removing their, you see all your content from all your all the people you're following. So they're still not removing that. But I do think this is a lever in, you know, a way of them starting you to get you used to it. And eventually they will start sort of filtering out content.
It just feels like Facebook, who initially said, you know, you've got your stream, and then they started this almost forcing people. By the way, I've told you before.
They have an alternative stream. Now we've got an alternative stream that is going to be default, but you can change away from. And now you can't even change away from it.
Yeah, because you've got top stories, and we'll determine what we class as a top story. And also we'll kind of, even if you pick it as your setting, we'll still keep changing it.
Yes. And it, and it's funny, most users find, I would say it's not, maybe not 100%, but it's pretty universally disliked what Facebook do to people's threads and how much content they end up missing or missing out on. Obviously content that you don't even know exists. That's more to the point.
I think,
and so for the fact that it's so universally disliked, it's strange that other companies are going to go and tag onto it. But I guess from their own point of view, it's important.
I think it's a small tech minority that get hacked off by it.
Well, I don't know. Every now and again, get that Facebook post that from someone who says, "I can't believe I'm not seeing any of this content from you." Blah blah, who I haven't spoken to in 3 years, but you know, nevertheless, I would have liked to have seen your content. And isn't it disgraceful what Facebook are doing? Then other people chime in and say, "I can't believe they're doing that." You know,
and that's what I always liked about Twitter. You chose, you know, fight. So like tonight is this second referendum debate up here, and already I've muted half a dozen people that are just spouting shite on Twitter already. And it's just, and that's the nice thing. I can control it myself. I can say, actually, I like your content most of the time. Tonight you're talking nonsense. Mute.
Do you think this is a timing thing, though? As in, do you think that we will, maybe people would start calling for this kind of thing when it becomes too much to bear, having all the content? As in, if we went back to the old Facebook stream, would it become unmanageable? Would it become impossible to follow, just like Twitter becomes? Twitter is impossible to follow, based on your followers and stuff like that.
Yeah, at certain times. So, like, you know, there was an earthquake in America, and there was loads of, like...
Yes, explodes.
And it's the same here. You know, if you think back to the London riots, you know, which was, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
And there was a lot... even though I wasn't following as many as I am now, still loads of people, you know, the chatter that night was, or for those 3 or 4 nights, was immense.
So do you think it's something that potentially, I mean, a user would find it useful, but it's almost like it has to wait for that tipping point and people to start calling for it rather than being forced on everybody. And maybe something, you know, that is an option that you can turn on off.
I still want to follow somebody and see their content. And if it's too noisy or it's content I don't like, so like Frankie Boyle found it really funny and then he started spoiling Game of Thrones. And I didn't find it funny, so I unfollowed. And yes, I do miss out on a lot of pretty funny jokes, but that hacked me off. And I didn't want a series spoiled that I was enjoying.
So that's kind of your decision then, isn't it?
So I made a choice and that was it. And if somebody retweets his content, then I think somebody did, because I unfollowed and I think you still see quite, so I just blocked it. It was like, well, I don't want to, you know, other people started then retweeting spoilers and it was like, no, block, 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 block. And you can do you can do that on Twitter and you're in control. The thing, there was 2 interesting posts over the week about Twitter. And always, so there was that journalist that was, who was killed, murdered, by this alleged British, you know, guy over in Iraq, and he was beheaded, and there was a video getting shared. Now, lots of people said Twitter and Facebook and all these sites must take that content down, and Twitter and Facebook did censor it. And there was, on the other hand, people saying, hold on, this is a... If I want to put that content up, I should be able to share that. And as I don't know. I think there's certain bits of content I know I wouldn't want to see. You know, someday, I mean, just for whatever reason, somebody.
I've been exposed to content before now, which you can never unsee something, and it's almost like something that I wouldn't have chosen to. But if it's not wrapped up in the right way, if there's no warning there, and you know, you could end up seeing something you don't want to.
So I thought that was actually a good, because I didn't want to see this beheading at all. Didn't want anything to do with it. But foolishly, remember, there was a British guy beheaded a few years ago, and I saw that, and it was horrible. And it was one of these things. It's like, right, I don't want to see that stuff again. You know, you're inquisitive, and you're like, oh no, horrible. And,
it's almost like.
The only point I wanted to make was Twitter censored that, right? But then, see with this favouriting type stuff and sharing out content, they actually took. Somebody actually tweeted a still image from that video of the beheading, and somebody saw it on their timeline because somebody else had favorited it, and it all kind of rippled through, and it was all algorithmically, you know, done. And it's like, but you shouldn't be forcing that on anybody.
Because it will get a reaction. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a good reaction.
I can't block that. Yeah. That's the thing I don't like about this content, that they're saying we're going to surface up the stuff that's interesting, but I don't want to see it.
Yeah, how
I'm
do
making
you
a choice,
you turn
and you
off?
Can't. At the moment, you go to Tweetbot or you go to a third-party client and you don't see it. But I think it's only a matter of time before they say, actually, you want to continue using API?
Here's our stream and that's what you've got to use. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's a kind of watch this space, but kind of there's a bit of inevitability about it, isn't there? So next up, Steve Ballmer stepped down. This was probably about a week ago, something like that. But he has now stepped down from the board, so he's no longer anything to do with Microsoft. He's just a shareholder now, basically, because he's got other really important things to do, and he was really busy after stepping down because everyone wanted him.
Well, they bought the Clippers, didn't they?
Oh, yes, that's true, yes.
So he's bought the Clippers, and he's been, I don't know if you saw the video, when he went out and have you not seen the video when he went out and engaged with the fans? And it was like, woo!
I bleed woo! Clippers!
It was all that. And I loved people saying that he is actually going to bring back Clippy from the office suite, and that'll be the logo. And I don't know, it was that thing where you're looking at it going, no, he's not. And then you're like, but is he? Will he?
So, yeah, you know, and he got the kind of standard, yeah, everyone knows that he was very dedicated, but, you know, all the sort of subtext of everything that anyone ever read and writes about Ballmer is, yes, very, very dedicated, but was he the right thing for Microsoft? You know, results say no.
No. He missed mobile and they're still struggling.
And how important he was shown by the shareholders' reaction to this news. Unchanged.
I know.
Love it.
Bless.
Yeah, but you know, yeah. Online music is going to carry age ratings. This is the next thing that David Cameron is going to save our children from, is music videos. Basically, he's going to work with the classification board, and they're going to, online, they're going to have sort of 18 certificates, you know, 15 certificates, whatever, PG. So there, he says everything that happens in real life should happen on the internet.
Bollocks. because so they're saying like the music videos today are like, you know, they're totally sexualizing, you know, little kids, and they're showing drug taking and all that, and there's no, you know, we have to police this. All you need to do is watch the news or read a newspaper now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's been in the newspapers for years and nobody has done anything about it, and they refuse to do anything about it.
And music videos have been like it since the dawn of music videos. It's not a new thing. However, no. Having said that, fine, do it. Put age classifications on it. What? How's that going to stop a kid watching it?
And that's what I don't get. You know, someday if a kid wants to play Grand Theft Auto, right now he does. So
just meddling. I mean, yeah, because parents are quite happy to buy games because they're fun, cuddly things, aren't they? I don't actually disagree with the sentiment that, you know, some music videos should probably be 18 certificate, but it doesn't, you know, whacking a whole ton of it on YouTube and then, you know, saying that that's, we've done this amazing thing for child safety is, that's what irks me. Yeah. It's because it's just all absolute gump. So, you know, they come, we've saved the kiddies by having these always on filters that you have to opt out of, which have caused untold problems. Most of them are getting turned off because parents are finding they can't do anything online. And you know, but nevertheless, they can now say we've done these things to save the children, and now they're going to save them from music videos as well. Having said that, you know, the old person in me does say that, yeah, the music videos, they should, I mean, the producers of music videos should know that there are their limits, really. And if they do it with impunity, then yeah, whack a limit on it. It won't stop anyone watching it, but...
No, and there's election coming. So come next May, and no doubt this will get trotted out.
Yep, family first. We need the family vote. Yeah, you know, child even, filters, you know.
Even these quotes, you know, we've taken a big stand and protect the children online. We're making family-friendly filters a default setting for all the new online customers, and we're forcing existing customers to make an active choice about whether to install them. And you go back 4 weeks, and I think we said 4%.
Yeah, I know.
Have them set. No, but it's a big tick because people think we need this, and then...
I think it's probably just a mark of getting older, but I'm sure it's been ever thus, but it just feels everything so cynical in the world, and it's awful. I hate it. Listen, Digital Outbox, your sane remedy to the modern world. Amazon has released its Whisper Sync for Voice in the UK. This has been out in America for a while. And this is where you can sync between a book you're reading and also have the same book in Audible and basically switch between the two. So whatever page you're up to on your Kindle, you could go into the car and whack on Audible and it would continue with the professionally narrated reading.
This just sounds like magic to me. And
I know, it's exciting.
There's probably tech behind it isn't that great, but I still think it sounds amazing that you can read a book and then just go somewhere else and continue on listening
to
it.
Well, it's like your Twitter, whatever they call it, that, you know, the marker, the place marker.
I know, but it's
amazing. It's good.
This is better.
Yeah. And it depends whether do people do that is all I'd say. Do people, you know, work with the book and then go and try and listen to it in the car and then carry on reading the book when they get home? I'm not sure. Maybe they don't do it because they can't, and maybe they're trying to explore this new market. But clearly, if it worked in America and they're bringing it over here, well,
I think it depends on your like daily commute. If you're only doing 10 minutes each way, like me, then you'll read 2 pages or something, then you'll be home.
I have to say, I also find audiobooks in the car extremely hard to concentrate on if you're driving. Yeah, if you're a passenger, it's fine, but as a driver, you miss mass, you know, if it's a plot, you know, plot driven thing rather than a dip in and out, you miss massive sections of it because you cannot do both.
No, the only thing music kind of a stretch, I can do some podcasts if it's a slightly longer journey, but even because you can kind of dip in and out.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need to follow the plot along. It doesn't matter if you missed 5 minute section of that, really, does it?
No, especially tonight.
No, you can miss the whole lot. We're fine. We're perfect for your car journey.
And it's not free, so I should add that little point on at the end. This isn't like, I've got a Kindle, I can just swap this over. And you do have to pay 99p to upgrade, and it's upgrade starting from 99p.
So what, as in 99p to then get the audio version of it? Okay, yeah. So it's not an end of the world, is it?
No.
Cheaper than buying both separately.
Exactly. The tech bit of it sounds fantastic.
Yeah, I like it. And when cars eventually sort out who they're going to integrate with or offer integration across a number of the main platforms, be even better then, because it would like start automating.
And surprise, surprise, just as you mentioned cars, most of the, what was it, is it CarPlay? That was what it was called. So most of the kind of Apple companies that said it's all coming this year, it's next year. The Android in the car or whatever, it's all, most of it is still vaporware.
Because it's the same with anything that's got a long lead time in the build-up. They can design it into a product now, but it's not going to be on the shelves.
No, and this stuff's all been vapor for, see all the kind of car integration? It's been vapor for so long. It's been so many years.
That's where things like the Apple changing their connectors is such a big deal, because when you've got these integrations, then they cannot keep up with that, because you don't buy a car every year.
No, Bluetooth is nice for that kind of thing.
But even just, you know, the being able to plug it in for power, that's, you know, that's the issue there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mailbox is a soft bit of software that we've been following along since the beginning. Mailbox was brought out on iOS as a really quick and easy way of managing your inbox, trying to sort of use your inbox as a to-do platform and a kind of scheduling thing. Problem was, it was only ever iOS, but they have now brought out an OS X version of it, so you can now have it on your desktop as well, so following straight from one to the other.
Yes, and Mailbox were bought by Dropbox, so it'll just be interesting to see how this all goes. Most of the people that have got it on Mac are now saying this is fantastic. I think if you're a heavy email user, it's a far quicker way of going through that volume of email and doing something with it. Depends on the kind of email you get. If you're mostly just getting, you know, here's today's, you know, I don't know, here's today's offers in a certain deal site, and here's a sale on here and stuff like that, I don't think it makes a difference. It's if you're actually getting, you know, tasks by email or getting issues email, and that's where I think these kind of things make a difference.
It's kind of an all. Not sure. I mean, it has, again, it's got sort of automated behaviors, so it learns if you delete an email from someone straight away, each time you get comes in, it kind of learns that and then starts deleting that email for you.
In three years' time, you think, why don't I hear from Chris anymore?
Oh, sugar. Look at that delete box. Yeah. Yeah. So, if people love it, people love it. It seems to get a lot of traction. I guess it's because it's sort of, you know, just a different way of treating email. PlayStation has been suffering DDoS attacks by a group, what are their group called?
Lizard Squad.
Now, it doesn't seem to be clear why they're doing DDoS attacks against the PlayStation Network, but it seems to have worked. So they've the about 10 hours it was sort of off and on for.
And they're also doing it against Blizzard. So yesterday, Blizzard and the PlayStation Network got hit, and there were rumours that it was going to be today for Xbox Live.
It's because they haven't released the content for PlayStation.
They really like Tomb Raider. That's what it is.
Don't time delay me, sucker.
The kind of really odd bit about this is that they then actually made a bomb hoax against the Sony Online Entertainment president, who was travelling, and they had to have the plane diverted, and the actual luggage hold had to be set.
You know, it's kind of mentality, isn't it? You can read the mentality from that, which is, we're invincible, we're going to get away with this. But, you know, they can be pretty sure that someone will catch up with them at some point.
Yeah, and I mean, and I guess so there was some...
They're into the big league by doing shit like that.
Yeah, there was conjecture that remember when Sony got hacked, I think it's now 3 or 4 years ago, so it is quite a while. There was a lot of kind of, you know, denial of service around that as well, and then there was hacks, and there was stuff that they took months to own up to. So there was kind of a bit of smoke around that yesterday, but it just looks like it is purely a denial of service, and it's
some spoiled. Script kiddies have probably got hold of a botchain,
and that's what it looks like. It looks like I can spoil millions of people's day.
Yeah, and now they're talking about Xbox Live as well. They're trying to work out how they're going to be able to attack Xbox Live as well.
Nice.
Yeah. Fun. That's pretty much the news. I know we haven't spoken to you for, about a week and a half now, isn't it? Something like that. So, in fact, even nearly might be 2 weeks. But that is it, really.
Yeah, it all picks up. It all picks up, I think, next week onwards. And there's a whole lot of announcements.
Flying into Macworld.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of announcements next week. If all the rumours are true, it's all the iOS announcements the week after. Mm-hmm. So, busy, busy, busy.
Yeah.
New phones.
You can't see the grins, everyone. I can see the grin. You have got a pick for us, though.
I have. Serendipity. And this isn't something you can do much with. It's just one of these nice little things. So this was done by an artist in residence at Spotify. It's not live. So the guy's name is Calvin Donald.
So I did click on your link, yes.
Yeah. So this is from Kermit Donald, a Brooklyn-based digital artist. And what he's done is it's basically a globe, and it spins through for about an hour, and every sort of 10-15 seconds it just goes through and shows you when two people have clicked or play the same piece of music at the exact same time. So not even just that the two tracks was at the same time, but they've actually clicked play at the same time. And it's just nice to see the different genres and also the similar ones across the world. You know, there's obviously popular songs all at the same time, but then there's some real specific, you know, ones in a region. And it's just a nice little visual to go and enjoy for 2 minutes and then think, yay.
Now I never have to go back there again.
Yeah.
But you too can enjoy it for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Spotify.com/UK/arts/serendipity.
That's why you're here. Get the important stuff out to the listeners.
So that's it. Thank you very much for listening along. If you want to find out more about who we are, what we do, etc., digitaloutbox.com. You can talk to us if you like, info@digitaloutbox.com, and Twitter as digitaloutbox. Oh, and we got Skype account as well, digitaloutbox. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK, and I'm also blogging at academyracer.co.uk if you want to follow my racing. Where can we find you?
Blog is END.net. Twitter is Shweepa.
Wunderbar. And we will be talking. I don't know what our schedule is at the moment. Is it next week? I can't remember.
We shall be doing one next Tuesday or Wednesday.
And okay, then you so a week away.
Off, and then you go off racing.
Yes. And so it'll be Tuesday, I think. So you'll be in your inboxes probably Wednesday, something like that.
Yep. And then the following week, we're back to Thursday night, which will probably be like an hour long.
Yeah, there'll be stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, then. So we will talk to you then. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. We'll be right back.
lovely Philadelphia.
One thing I meant to say, ice bucket challenge.
What, I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey!
I paid money. I'm not going to lie and say I did pay $100, but I skipped it. You've got rubbish friends, basically.
Well, no, I knew that, yeah, anyway.
You knew that. As soon as you did it, it's like, they're not going to do it.
No.
They're not going to do it.
No.
I did think more than a second about it, but it didn't happen. Does that count? Does that make me a good person? Is it? Am I bad? Going to hell?